Welcome to the Martin Bailey Photography Podcast. It's September 13, 2013, and this is episode 386. Today I'm going to walk you through my backup strategies at home and in the field. This is in response to a listener question from someone that heard me talk about this briefly on This Week in Photo. I should precede this with the disclaimer that I'm perhaps a little bit paranoid with my backups, but I should also add that I've never lost an image in 18 years of digital imaging, and that includes scans of old slide film from way back when. Also, I've been running behind a little bit this week. I was hoping to release an Iceland episode, start a series on my Iceland work, a little bit earlier this week, but I've been struggling with some new software that I had hoped to use to show you my new Iceland portfolio images with. I've been trying a whole bunch of new gallery software for the website now that I'm trying to retire my portfolio site. And so it's taken a few extra days. So what I'm going to do is, you know, that's almost ready now. And I just, you know, I've got 50 images that are already uploaded. If you want to take a sneak preview, you can go over to mbp.ac/iceland2013 and you can see my images there, and click the little arrow at the bottom right of the gallery that will appear, and then you can view the images in full screen as well. It's looking okay, but I've still got a few things that I was hoping to tweak before I do an episode on this. So today we're going to jump in and talk about my backup strategies. But before we talk about the backup strategy itself, I'd like to talk more about how I actually synchronize my files between the various hard drives that I'll discuss. When I first switched to the Mac OS, I initially used a product called SyncSyncSync or Sync 3, but a couple of serious bugs that were introduced via upgrades and a few corrupted files that were possibly caused by this application got me looking for a new solution about 6 months ago, and what I decided on was an application that I've been very happy with called ChronoSync. I'll be including some screenshots and just photos of this gear that I'm talking about in the blog post, which if you'd like to catch up with is at mbp.ac/386 for episode 386. But also if you're on your iPhone or an iPad, you can listen using the podcast application and view the images right there, especially if you're using the enhanced podcast. And also note that there has been a problem or an issue with the latest versions of iTunes, where you have to do a little bit of messing around to get the images to show. And if you are having trouble with that, go to my website, and again, that's at martinbaileyphotography.com, and if you look under the subscribe menu, there's a link there to how to view enhanced podcasts in iTunes, and that will help you to get the images on your screen if you're listening in iTunes, as it's become a bit of a pain to do that. So anyway, ChronoSync is very powerful and can be used to create all kinds of synchronization jobs. I'm not going to go into a lot of detail on this today, but you can specify various types of synchronization job, some of which could result in you deleting files by mistake if you don't understand how to set these up. And so you really have to be careful with applications like this. But as long as you read the help and set things up correctly, ChronoSync will serve you well. And the other great thing about ChronoSync is that it has a trial sync button. So before you run any synchronization, you can just run a trial, and then it'll throw up a list of what's going to happen, what will be copied and what will be deleted. It's very useful, and I'm really enjoying working with this product. As you can see in the screenshot, this is just one of my sync jobs, which I used to synchronize my September 2013 RAW files from my MacBook Pro drive to my Drobo 5D. I've selected mirror left to right as the synchronization type, so that anything that I delete from my local hard drive as I edit will also be deleted from my backup when I sync the two. You can also select to move deleted files to an archive folder if you want to, you know, basically, so if you want to avoid the risk of automatic deleting something by mistake. I personally don't do that, but I do make sure that I run the trial syncs before I run my synchronization jobs. The other good thing about ChronoSync is that you can create containers that are basically batches of sync jobs. So, for example, I have one container that holds all of the sync jobs that I created to run synchronization between my two Drobos. So when I'm ready to sync, I can run individual jobs or just run the entire batch, syncing everything that I've built and stored in this container. So it really makes it easy to sync large amounts of different jobs and large amounts of data. On Windows, I used to use a command prompt application called RoboCopy, which is included in the operating system. That's basically just to sync between, you know, sync locations, just like ChronoSync. What I'd done is I created text-based command files that I would just double-click and run the sync jobs with. And the result was very much like what ChronoSync is doing here, but without the interface and the ease of configuration. You basically have to read the help and figure out all of the commands that you need, and the right, you know, you have to basically go ahead and write the script yourself using RoboCopy. It's not difficult, but it's too complicated to try and cover here, especially as I no longer use it. So when I talk about running a sync job or synchronizing between drives today, just understand that I'm talking about running a ChronoSync task, but this could be whatever you choose to use to synchronize between your own storage solutions. Another thing to note, though, is that I do not recommend manually moving files around. Manually copying files is okay for an initial backup, say when you get home from a trip and you just copy an entire directory structure from your main hard, you know, your backup that you used while you're on the road to your main hard drive. But once you have started to do any sort of incremental backups to save changes that you've made to images or deletions, any new files that you create for black and white versions, or any other edited images that you have on your backup drive, you know, that you want to put onto your new drive, it will quickly become a pain to do this manually, and it's error prone. Do find a good synchronization solution for this part of your workflow. Let's first touch on how I organize and access my images at home, and then how I back up my images. Initially, every photograph I shoot is first copied to the solid state drive in my MacBook Pro. Because of this, I always get the largest internal drive that I can afford when I buy a new computer. So my MacBook Pro Retina has a 750GB solid state drive installed. This generally enables me to save all of each month's images locally before I clean that out as I move into the following month. It's totally up to you how you organize your images, but for me, having everything in a three-layer year, month, and day structure works well, especially when backing up. I've seen people that use location-based folder names, but that relies on you remembering what you've already backed up and what you haven't, and you're manually comparing your backups. It's just error-prone, and not to mention a pain. If everything for this year is under 2013, and everything for September is in a directory called 09, and each day in its own numbered folder, it's really easy to check that you are backed up. With the keyword in collections that we now have in Lightroom and other media management software, it really isn't necessary to include the location or shoot name in the folder structure unless you have some sort of a process imposed on you in a workplace or something. Anyway, I shoot away for the current month and create a sync job for that month that I can run after each shoot. And that automatically copies all of my images, including any changes or deletions to my main storage, which is now the Drobo 5D. This is connected to my MacBook Pro, which is currently my main computer, via Thunderbolt. The Drobo 5D with an mSATA SSD accelerator drive installed is lightning fast. It's almost as fast as the internal SSD drive in my MacBook Pro. So backups are very fast, even with 100 plus gigabytes of data. Now, I know that Drobos provide a certain amount of redundancy or fault tolerance, in that with my current configuration, if one hard drive fails, I can pull it out and replace it, and my data will be safe. But I've had a drive fail, and with the amount of data that I have stored, it currently, I've currently got 5.12 terabytes of data. And with that amount of data stored on the Drobo, it takes 2 to 3 days to rebuild the data once you put a new hard drive in. That means there's 2 to 3 days there in which a second failed drive would cost me all of my data, and I don't want to take that risk. So I have two Drobos, basically one is a copy of the other, but there's a second very important reason for having that second Drobo, which is my cloud storage. My second Drobo, a second generation USB connected 4-bay Drobo, is connected to my old MacBook Pro on which I have Backblaze installed. Backblaze currently costs just $50 a year or $95 for 2 years, and that is for unlimited storage. As I say, I have over 5 terabytes of data, and every byte of that is uploaded to Backblaze. So if I lose any files, I can download them from Backblaze at any time, and that has happened in the past. I did a portrait shoot for a client, and when I came to work on some prints for them, I found that one of the images that they wanted a print of was corrupted. I believe, though I can't prove, that this was caused by my last synchronization application during a few synchronization back and forth, so all of my backups were corrupted. Of course, the Backblaze copy was also corrupt because that was taking it for, it was copying it up to Backblaze from my backup. But Backblaze keeps up to 4 weeks of versions of files. And because I found this issue within a few weeks, I was able to roll back to an uncorrupted version of the image file. Had I gone past the 4 weeks, I'd have lost the file and had to deal with the embarrassing task of telling my client that I'd lost one of their precious portrait images. So it's important to ensure that things don't get corrupted. And that's why I've switched synchronization software, and touch wood, nothing so far has been corrupted since. So to recap, my main workflow at home is to shoot for a month, keeping everything on my MacBook Pro, and then after each shoot, everything gets backed up, first to the Drobo 5D connected with a Thunderbolt connection, and then the second backup is done over the network to a second Drobo connected via USB to my old MacBook Pro. As long as my Backblaze backup is up to date, I can usually back up around 20 gigabytes of data per day. So unless I have done a really big shoot, I'm usually backed up in the cloud within 24 hours or so. Once I've finished the processing of each month's images, within the first week or so of the following month, usually, I run one last synchronization from my local MacBook Pro drive to the Drobos, and then I delete the images from the local drive. And at that point, Lightroom sees that the local images are missing, and I just point it to the new month directory on the Drobo 5D and continue to access my images from there as normal. I also add all of the images from my old Drobo, the over the network, the, you know, the second Drobo that's attached to the old MacBook Pro. I catalog them in Lightroom as well. So if I need anything while I'm not at my desk with the Drobo 5D plugged in, I can still access it over the network from anywhere in the house. This is important to me as, if you recall, my office and studio are on the third floor of our apartment and our living space is on the second floor. And so I don't spend too much time in the studio. I work from our living room or dining table for a while after breakfast, and then in the evenings, and you know, it's nice to be able to still get stuff over the network if I need to. So that's my basic home office workflow. But now let's look at what I do when I'm traveling. Right now, I use 4 portable hard drives in the following way. I have 2 2TB Western Digital My Passport Studio drives that are my main backups in the field. These are the 2 drives that are stacked together in the image that you'll see now if you go to the blog or in the Enhanced podcast. Every day when I get to the hotel, I transfer all of my images to my local hard drive first, and then I synchronize that to the first of these 2TB hard drives. I usually try to at least do this much before dinner, and then I put the 2TB drive in my pocket before I leave the room. If I don't have time for that, I still put the 2TB drive in my pocket because that contains the backups for the previous days, but I also put the compact flash cards from that day in my pocket too, rather than leaving them in the hotel room. Once I get back to the room after dinner, if I have shot any video on my GoPros that day, I back them up to a third 1TB hard drive, and that is connected to the computer via Thunderbolt. This is the white Buffalo drive that you can see to the left in the photo that I uploaded. This isn't much faster than the FireWire drives though, because it's a slow 2.5-inch hard drive. Thunderbolt is kind of wasted on standard 2.5-inch hard drives, which I guess would be the case, but I bought this to try it anyway. I won't be buying any more unless the makers boast a very fast hard drive speed, though. And that's basically what they'll need to do for it to keep up with the possible speeds that Thunderbolt can deliver. In fact, I think if I buy anything else for portable backups, it will probably be a Drobo Mini because they have the same SSD acceleration that the Drobo 5D uses, and that just screams along. Once I have my video backed up to that 1TB hard drive, I run a synchronization between that drive and my first 2TB hard drive. And then I synchronize my first 2TB hard drive with the second 2TB hard drive. And that gives me 2 backups of everything. You know, all of the images that I've shot and my video. That gets put into 2 separate places. Of course, I've still got the video on the third drive, but that's kind of like in place of my local copy, my MacBook Pro copy of my images. It's actually now in 3 places. If I need to delete the local hard drive images, though, I can do because I've still got them in 2 other places. And although I try to avoid this if possible, as I mentioned earlier, I have at the moment a 750GB solid state hard drive in the MacBook Pro, so I can usually shoot for around 3 to 4 weeks before I have to start deleting stuff. So, but this is also why I backed up the video straight to an external drive, as I'd fill up my local hard drive too quickly otherwise. So finally, before I go to sleep, I plug in my 4th portable hard drive to the computer so that you can, you know, that's the one that you can see in the back. It's the blue drive at the back. You can't really see it's blue, but it's a blue hard drive at the back of this image that we see. And that's basically a mobile time machine copy. This means that until I delete anything from the local hard drive, I actually have 4 copies of everything while traveling. And this is enough to keep me happy. Note that for the last few versions of the macOS, you can now have multiple time machines. In the photo, you can see a Belkin Thunderbolt hub into which I basically plug everything, including my Drobo 5D, which changed to my external monitor via Thunderbolt, and all of my USB 3 and USB 2 devices, as well as my FireWire card reader, Wacom tablet, speakers, they all plug into this. So when I sit at my desk, I actually only have to plug in the power to the MacBook Pro and one Thunderbolt cable, and it all just connects. The reason that I mention this is because I also have a USB 3 external hard drive attached to this hub, which continuously updates a Time Machine backup of my computer when I'm at my desk. The portable Time Machine copy is only used when I'm traveling. The main thing to note about all of these hard drives that you see in this image is that I always carry my first of my 2 terabyte backup disks with me everywhere when I'm traveling. It not only goes to dinner with me, but it stays in my photographer's vest all day long. So, you know, when possible, I actually also carry the 1 terabyte hard drive, the backup, Time Machine backup as well. But that Time Machine backup is a really tough disk. If I'm not mistaken, it even withstands a dunk of water if necessary. So as long as I haven't deleted my local copy of my images, they're all in there inside that Time Machine backup. So if I lost my computer, I could get all of my information back, including mail and other personal data, to the point of the last backup. Note too that my 2 terabyte drives are large enough for me to keep a backup of what I call my final images. These are images that I have selected for my portfolios or stuff that I feel is good enough to show people. If I have done a black and white conversion or a Color FX Pro conversion, for example, I will ensure that I keep the RAW file, the original RAW file, and the converted TIFF or PSD files in this final folder as well. These are organized by year. So basically, at the end of each year, I will end up with a new folder and all of my best shots and original RAW files for that year are in there. This means that when I'm traveling, if someone needs a few images from me, the chances are that I can go back, you know, 13, 14 years and get them what they need while I'm on the road. And I can also access all of my RAW files for my best work to give me, you know, give demonstrations of software, etc. I also keep all of my RAW files from every shoot that I do during any given year on this 2 terabyte drive, because when I get home from a trip, it will take a while for the backups to upload to Backblaze, especially if I have video to upload too. So this means that I can carry my hard drive around with me for a while after I get home. And then if anything should happen to my house while I'm out, I don't lose all of my recent work. So one last summary here. I have all of my images and all of my documents and email, music, everything that I value, all on my Drobo 5D, which is my main storage. That is backed up to a second Drobo, and that gets backed up to the cloud using Backblaze. This is 3 copies of all of my data, which is currently, as I say, 5.12 terabytes and counting. When I travel, I have at least 2 external backups of my work, as well as the Time Machine backup in case I lose my computer. Now that I have this much redundancy in my backups, including the cloud storage, I don't do off-site backups as much as I used to. When I was still in my old day job, I would keep a backup of all of my data on a few 3.5-inch hard disks that I would load into an external bay occasionally, sync from my main data, and then take a copy back to the office and just leave it in a drawer. This was still Tokyo though, so every year or so I would also copy my entire library to a series of old hard drives and send them to my brother in the UK, and he would just store the hard disks somewhere for me. This is less important to me now that all of my data is in 2 places at home, 2 redundant places at home, and in the cloud as well. But when I can, I still like to do this. It's just one more backup that could save my ass if something really nasty happened here in Japan. at the same time, of course, as a backblaze catastrophe, which I can never see happening. Realistically, though, if anything did happen to my local backups, I'd probably request my data to be sent to me on hard disks from Backblaze rather than my brother, as the copies that he has are never going to include my very latest work. As I said, I might be a little bit paranoid about my backups, but if even a part of what I do and what I've discussed here gives you a hint on how you might improve your own backup strategy, that's great. The most important thing to remember is that all hard drives fail at some point, so you should never trust your images in just one place. The minimum you should do is back up to an external hard drive, and if possible, make sure that you have a backup of that to keep away from your home. Or sign up for Backblaze and get it, you know, some similar service. There are other services. I used to use Mozy, and you know, there are other services. Was it Carbon Copies? Another. Sign up for something and just ensure that your precious images are also backed up in the cloud, and that way you're fully covered. So thanks for listening today. Remember that you can find me on Google+ and Twitter, etc., and links to everything that I'm up to are at martinbaileyphotography.com. So do drop by and take a look. I'll be back next week with another episode, but in the meantime, you take care and have a great week, whatever you do. Bye bye.